1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, and we're going to read through to 2, verse 3. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And I'm just going to pray for us as we spend a little bit of time looking at that together now. Father, we thank you that you do give us your word. You do feed us. And we pray that we might take it in and digest it well, that your spirit would help us to hear our great creator God and respond rightly to you. Amen. So this is the last in our spiritual MOT series. So throughout 2023, we've been going through week by week, looking at how are we doing at living out our new life in Christ, the life with God that Jesus wins for us. And today we come to the end of our series with what, in one sense, should have been right at the start. It's one of the foundational spiritual disciplines, hearing God's word. We actually started with prayer. And in a sense, prayer and the Bible sort of function a bit like breathing in and breathing out, spiritually speaking. You breathe in spiritually by listening to God's word, and you breathe out spiritually by speaking to God in prayer. Or to use the analogy from today's passage, why is the Bible so foundational? Why is reading the Bible so important? Because it's like spiritual food. God's word is like spiritual food. And so we're going to look at that little passage from 1 Peter to draw out two big points about how God's word works. Firstly, remember that the word of God gives new birth to eternal life. In verse 23, Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." And you might be thinking, if you've been reading the Bible for a while or in church for a while, you might think, that idea of being born again, I've heard that before. It appears in John 3. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, says, "You must be born again." And so there's a very similar idea here, and the two work together. The common idea is this: we human beings were born a first time of a human father and mother, and their human perishable seed brought into being a new, amazing human life. And we were born with an amazing humanity, but a dying humanity, a perishing humanity. To perish means to die here. So to be given life as a human being is amazing, but we also know there's something wrong with all of us as human beings. The Bible calls that problem sin, our tendency to reject God and fail to keep his good law, so that we don't live rightly as creatures and we mess things up and we're under God's judgment and condemnation and facing destruction. And so the hope the Bible gives is you can become imperishable, you can become immortal, you can become eternal. You can be reconnected to God and enjoy his love and have God's help to be living transformed lives. How does this transformation happen? You must be born again. Not that you need to enter your mother's womb a second time, but that you can be born spiritually. In John 3, Jesus tells us we need the Holy Spirit for this. The Holy Spirit is the power that brings about but new birth, being born again of God. 1 Peter tells us that the tool the Spirit uses, the seed that he brings to life, is the word of God. Let me read it again. "For you have been born again of not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." So the word of God is the imperishable seed that gives eternal life. And then you might say, well, what is the word of God? How do I know what it is? Well, Peter quotes from Isaiah 40, talking about the word of the Lord that endures forever, but he quotes from a prophet. And so we go, well, all the Old Testament prophets are the Word of God. Everything in the Old Testament is the Word of God. And then at the end, Peter says, and this is the word that was preached to you. The gospel message, the apostles' message, is the Word of God. The message about Jesus preached by the eyewitnesses. That's the Word of God. But where do we find that now? Well, we find that now in the New Testament. And so the Word of God, written down, is the Bible, the Old and New Testament. And that's the seed that the Holy Spirit uses to bring people to new life with God forever. It's the seed which brings us to know Jesus, the eternal Word of God. And it's by receiving this seed, this word, that human beings can be born of God, that there's no other message that can bring new birth to eternal life with God. There's no other message that can take you from being an enemy of God to becoming part of God's family. You can only be transformed from dying humanity to everlasting humanity by hearing this message that's found in the Bible and trusting Jesus as he's shown us in the Bible. And so how we treat this book, this message, is of eternal importance. If you're here thinking about the big questions of life and the universe, and you're wanting to know about God, please could you know, this book contains what you need. We're not saying we're really wise and we figured it out, listen to us. We're saying God has made himself known. Please read it. Please start by reading one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And as you do that, ask God, please show yourself to me. Please speak to me. Please, if you're there giving this new birth, I want it. And keep reading until God makes himself known. That is how God makes himself known. That's how new birth happens, where your eyes are suddenly opened and your ears are opened and your heart is ready to receive God's word. And if you have responded to the Bible's message, if you've trusted Jesus, then keep remembering God's grace to you through the Bible and give thanks for it. Don't take it for granted that you're now part of God's family and that you have access to God's word, and nowadays God's word in such an easy form, in your own language. And you can have your own copy of it. And you can access it on your phone. Yeah. Don't take all that for granted and so ignore it. Give thanks for it. Remember what an amazing privilege it is that the God who is so vast that galaxies are small compared to him, who is so powerful that he can make all of humanity fall over like grass in a fire, who is so holy that he cannot tolerate the slightest speck of evil, has wanted you to hear his voice and ensured you could hear it in a way you could understand. Rejoice in this book. Be thankful for it. Remember what a privilege it is, rather than thinking, oh, once it was good, but now it sits on the shelf. And share this book. If this is true, if new birth to eternal life is found through the message of this book, then what do I want other people to have? Surely I want them to have God's word and to read it. I want to recommend it and to share it, whether by giving people a physical copy of a gospel or putting a link on social media sometimes or whatever it is. This is God's word that gives life. So don't hoard it or store it away as if it's in a bank vault somewhere. But read it and treasure it and pass it on. So the Word of God gives new birth. It starts us in the Christian life. But secondly, crave the Word of God that gives us growth. That's what we see in 1 Peter 2. It says, like verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. See, how had they tasted that God was good? By the word of God giving them new life with God. That's what they tasted. They tasted God's goodness in his word coming to them and bringing them new life. So now they're meant to crave this pure spiritual milk, this spiritual food, the word of God. Because what starts us in the Christian life, the word of God about Jesus, brought to life in our hearts by the Spirit, that which starts us in the Christian life is that which continues us and fuels us to grow in the Christian life. That word crave might be a slightly strange one for some people. When women are pregnant, they sometimes have cravings. They suddenly want a particular type of food, and it can be a very peculiar type of food. It's to crave something is to really want it. And the picture that Peter gives us is of the newborn baby. And newborn babies don't go, "Well, it's okay, Mum. You fed me 12 hours ago. I'm absolutely fine. I fancy some milk, but it's okay." That's not how newborn babies work. They go, "2 hours ago you fed me, and now I'm hungry, and I'm going to scream until you feed me, because I'm desperate for this food." And that's what we should be like, according to Peter. We shouldn't just go, "Once I read this stuff." We should go, "I'm hungry for God's word. I'm so confused by the world, and I'm so confused by my own heart, and the situations I'm in are just beyond my wisdom, and I just keep forgetting what God is like, and I can't figure you out, God. And so I should be hungry for God's word." We need a constant renewing and reordering of our minds with God's truth. Otherwise, the torrent of words and ideas around us will shape our minds away from Jesus. And so we need daily to read and think about and sing and pray the word of God, to renew our minds, to reorient our minds to God's good way. And we need a constant renewing and refreshing of our hearts. Otherwise, the multiple things we desire, that the emotions that just well up in us, will dominate us in ways that lead us away from the true life, the full life that Jesus gives. And so our hearts need renewing and refreshing that comes when we read the Bible and hear God speaking to us. If we feel spiritually hungry and thirsty, it's right to pray, absolutely. Please pray and ask for God. But part of what God will say to you is, "I've given you a means by which you can fill up your soul again. Please read it. Please hear my voice, because Jesus' words are living water for our souls." And in that process of filling up our hearts and minds with God's word, that's actually, in that renewing and reorienting and refreshing of heart and mind, that's actually how we drive out evil and change our lives. In 2 verse 1, Peter says, "Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." You've become a new person, part of God's family. So live like it. How do you live like it? Do you focus on the bad things and keep saying, "I must say no stronger"? No, Peter says, fill yourself up with what's good. Fill yourself up with God's mind and God's truth. Fill your heart with God's love and God's presence and God's peace. And so you will be transformed to be more like God. And so this image of food, God's word as food, is actually really powerful. It really shows us a lot about how we should be treating God's word. And it may be that you're here and you're doing these things. You know, in that case, pray that God would use it well in your life and that you'd get the full benefits. The Spirit has to also be at work. That's why, you know, John 3 and 1 Peter 1 work together. The word is the seed. The Spirit has to bring life. Pray and rejoice. If you realize you've slipped up, don't spend lots of time feeling bad about it. Don't make big resolutions about what you're going to do next week. "Next week I'm going to start reading an hour a day, but I'm going to wait a while." Why not today or tomorrow morning just make a bit of time to read God's word and say, "I do need this. I just need this to reset my mind and my heart as I go out into a world which is so confusing and so challenging." One other thought on this image of word of God as food. It's because of this image that I don't get too downhearted that most people have forgotten my sermon next week. And almost no one will remember this sermon in 6 months' time. Because the sermon is not a masterpiece to be displayed for years to come. It is feeding God's people when we gather together to help us get through the next day and week. And if you've heard God speak to you today, and if that helps you to walk with Jesus today and to be a little bit more like Jesus in the coming week, then the sermon's done its job. And it's totally fine if next week you've forgotten it. Because what we need is to be keeping, is to feed together and individually on God's word. Crave the word of God that gives growth. Let me just pray for us now that we will do that. Father, this is so amazing, we find it hard to take in. The idea that words printed on a page, words written by a man called Peter almost 2,000 years ago, could be the very words of the God who originally coded DNA and who made the atoms and whatever is below the atoms in the subatomic level. That the God who knows everything, who knows the farthest reaches of our universe, that God speaks to us through these words written by a human. That is beyond our understanding. And that through these words, the God of the universe wants to give us new life and bring us into friendship with him. Lord, this is just too good to be true. Help us by your Spirit to believe these truths and to know them and to feel them. And then help us, wherever we're at in our journey with you, to feast on your words and grow in you. Please, would you make these words written on a page living words to our souls? Reorient our minds, refresh our hearts, we pray, by your Spirit. For Jesus' glory, amen.